Man, so good. Hey, we got something special for you. Renee and I will be out and just having great conversations about moms and motherhood and the heart of a mom and moms, what you go through. Just amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Look at our little plant. We love our little plant. It's amazing. I watered the plant, but it's fake, so don't do that. So that's my green thumb. Where's my bride? Come on, beautiful. Where are you at, my dear? Man, come on, amen. So good. My wife truly is an amazing mom. I was raised with an amazing mom who loved Jesus, kept things straight. You know, could you imagine being Mary? I just had a thought, like thinking of the times when my mom disciplined my brothers, you know. I didn't know what a wooden spoon looked like. I always ate off the wooden spoon, but my brothers got cracked by it. But could you imagine being Mary, like with Jesus, where she brings out the wooden spoon and Jesus is like, really, mom, who's that for? Because I haven't made a mistake, right? So it's like to try to be the mom of Jesus. Unbelievable. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm just saying my brothers are definitely not. That's all I'm saying. But no, we have so much fun. And I just want to honor moms today. And me and Renee have been having great conversation about what this day looks like and just how to speak into moms and grandmoms and young ladies who want to be moms and can't wait to be moms and walk in that road and that path to realize there's amazing highs and there's amazing lows, but there's some strength that is within a woman, just some supernatural strength that is powerful, powerful. And I'm excited for today. And we don't come to church to play games. We don't come to Believer's Chapel to check a box. We come to BC to be a part of something. And we've come to BC to be a part of our community here within this church. We come to Believer's Chapel to truly walk in a place to honor and bless God in song and in worship. And we want to walk in this place to be in our bigger community. That might be people that don't even come to Believer's Chapel, but they're a part of our community. We work with them, or we know them, or we're friends with them. And this morning is one of those cases where we as a church, we want to talk about a couple families that are friends of Believer's Chapel, but not particularly a part of Believer's Chapel. And there's one family out of Portville, and we have a lot of people from Portville here at Believer's Chapel. Renee and I are big fans of the Portville community. We're big fans of the Portville school system. And you have Mr. and Mrs. Matz, Mike and Chrissy Matz. And both of them are heavily involved in the Portville school. Both of them are teachers in Portville. Coach Mike is a coach in Portville. And they observed their son, Colt, who's 10 years old last week. I believe it was Sunday. And they were like, we need to take him to the hospital. Something's wrong. And a mom knows, right? A mom just knows. And Chris was like, Mike, we got to go to the hospital. You need to take him. And so they go to the hospital and they do blood work. And then the next thing you know, they're calling in Mercy Flight to get him to Children's as soon as possible. And our little friend Colt has leukemia. In church, that's just from a mom's heart and even a dad's heart. And dad's, yes, there's a brokenness to that, but there's something on about a mom's heart, right? When one of your kids is just broken. And we as a church, we just are going to join with them and pray, and we're going to believe for strength. We're going to believe in faith that they would be strengthened. The Bible says in Romans 12 that you rejoice with those who rejoice and you weep with those who weep. And please hear me. Believer's Chapel has never been just about those who choose to sit in these seats. We love our community and we love our region that we are in. Whether people come to this church or not, we love people. And when people hurt, we want to hurt with people. And these are friends of so many people within this church. And of course, I asked permission. I said, do you mind if we pray before the church? I wouldn't do it without their permission. And of course, they would appreciate prayer from Believer's Chapel. I couldn't even imagine your 10-year-old son has leukemia. And then, of course, their coach's younger brother, Jack. And could you imagine Jack trying to figure things out at a young age as his older brother, who's only 10, is going through such a struggle? Right. And if we could, we're going to pray for a couple different families today. But I just want to share Psalm 121. This is a text that I had texted them. And what happens, church, when you have really, truly not a whole lot of options? And there's moments in our lives that we truly just have to lift our eyes up. The Bible says this in Psalm 121, that I will lift my eyes. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? You ever been in that position, man? You ever been in that place where you're asking God, where does my help come from? Man, I'm in the worst case scenario. Man, I'm in this place where, God, I didn't ask for this. I don't know what's going on. One minute, he's not feeling well. Mom's heart says we got to take him. The next thing, he's in a helicopter. God, I didn't ask for this. Where do I turn? I could imagine from a mom and dad. And today, listen, we're going to celebrate moms today. And today's a special day and we're going to honor moms. But I couldn't imagine being Christy this morning going, this is my day. And I sent him this text. It was, I will lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. Sometimes, church, you have to just put your eyes up. Sometimes you have no other option. And in this case, for the Matz family, man, we're going to just pray and we're going to believe that they have the ability and faith to be able to just lift their eyes up to where their help comes from. From the Lord who makes the heavens and the earth. And then we're going to pray for a second family in a moment. But if you are with a family member, I don't want us to hold hands across the aisles or anything like that. If you're a stranger, you don't need to be holding the stranger's hand. That's weird. You ever go to church? Let's all just hold hands. You're like, I don't know this dude. He's a creeper, man. And if you're here and you're a creeper, no one's holding your hand. So welcome to Believer's Chapel. Amen. So if you're a family and you came with people, would you please just join their hands? Because we're just, wow. Because this affects us, because it affects people within this church and it affects people within this community and our heart breaks. In church, we will celebrate with those who celebrate and we will weep with those who weep. That's church, man. That's just us as people of God wanting to build people. Come on, let's pray. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name for Mike as he leads his family right now, that he would be strong. God, that he would encourage Chrissy and just begin to speak life to Colt and begin to speak life, God, to Jack, and just to walk in this place, Father, that he would walk in a manner that is strong as the head of his house. God, I pray for Chrissy and mom's heart today on Mother's Day. Can't imagine. God, I just pray that somehow, some way, they would be able to lift their eyes up to you, that you would bring help, that, Father, you would strengthen her spirit today, that you would strengthen her mother's heart today, that she would walk truly through this in a strength that is not her own. And there are people who love them and just care for them, and we just lift them up before you today, that there would be an internal strength in the both of them, God, to walk through this. And Father, we do pray over our friend Colt, that God, you would just bless him, bless his body, and give the doctors great wisdom. Father, we do ask in Jesus' name. We know that there is nothing impossible for you. And we walk by faith and trust that, Father, you can do a miraculous work within his body and heal his body. And Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your compassion. And Father, we just pray over that family that you guide and direct them, that they have had an outpouring of love and support. And God, I pray that in their spirit, they know that they are loved by people. But even more than that, God, I pray that they are loved by you, that they would know that, God. And Father, I ask that you would bring great strength and great healing as they trust in you, in Jesus' name. And then church, our second family that truly has been brought to so many people's attention is the Geist family. You got Steve and his son, Cole. And Cassie is Cole's mom. And it's been truly all over the news. It's widespread. But we got to pray that Cole is found. And Cole is 22 years old. He's autistic. He's just a big dude, man. He's over 6 feet tall, 200 pounds. But what I'm told and understand is Cole goes into this routine, and he just does a routine as a part of being autistic and just walking in a place, you know, walking in that place of autism, there is such a true bond and relationship that is just God-given built. And his dad has that relationship with his son. And Cole's been missing since last Sunday. And this is a really big deal in this community. So many people in this church know the family. People in this church have prayed with the family. So part of Believer's Chapel, we have been able to minister to this family in many ways, which is exciting to be a part of that. But let's just pray as a church that Cole would truly be found, and it would not be the worst case scenario where somehow, some way, God's hand is shown in this. And please hear me, only God's hand. Only God's hand. That God would move. That the those in the search parties would have some type of amazing direction only by the Spirit of the living God and no other spirit, but by his Spirit. And that he would move in such a powerful way. And that somehow, some way, God's angels would have surrounded Cole and protect him. And we would see God's hand move in such a way. Come on, if you would, now let's just pray. Father, we pray over this as just a part of our community here in our region, a family that is just broken, a family that is hurting and lost. And Father, we pray for Cole. God, we pray that he is safe. And we pray your angels to be surrounding him. And I pray, God, that by your Spirit, and only by your Spirit, there would be a move in this that gives you glory. And Father, we pray for Cassie, and we pray for Steve. We pray for a mom's heart today on Mother's Day, God. It's supposed to be a day that she is being celebrated, and it's a day that she's broken. And I pray that they would turn to you in great faith and nowhere else, God, that there's people here in this church that know them personally, that have reached out to them. God, I pray that there would be faith that is truly released in this, God, and they would grow in their faith and trust in you alone. We just ask for the search parties to be successful. God, immediately, that Cole would be found safe and alive and even healthy and strong. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Believers Chapel, we love you. Honestly, these are just moments like this that we just love on our community and our region. And as I just drove around this morning in my rattle run and just really prayed from Allegheny to Portville, back to Allegheny, and just so many different places, and went up to a high point this morning and just reached out and just prayed and just was covering families and covering this church, and I went to other churches and was covering other churches. Like, we need to be about our community in a real way. We need to be about our region in a real way, not just those who fill these seats, but that people would know Believers Chapel loves them. We care for them. Whether they ever step foot in this place or not, there's a lot of good churches. We just want people to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and that there's a group of people here that desperately care for people, right? Come on, we thank you so much, man. I am so appreciative to you being a part of this church and a part of this ministry. We thank you so much for your faithfulness and tithes and offerings and just what that is looking like, that we're able to do so much in our region financially. We are healthy financially, and we're so blessed by that. Thank you so much for your continued support and giving, walking in that obedience of finances. God has been so good to us because he's given us the greatest people on the planet. And we love you. And we're excited that you're here. Moms, this is your day. I personally think every day is Mom's Day. Renee gets celebrated every single day of her life, 365, 24/7. Renee is celebrated by her man. High five, beautiful. Come on, girl.
I'm celebrating right now.
She's celebrating right now. That's amazing. But you know what? Renee and I have been talking about this day and this moment and what this space would look like today and just walking in this place. And I want this. I want this for the ladies here in this house. And this is what we have been praying, that you walk out challenged today. And you walk out in a strength today. Watch this. You walk out in a strength today that is not your own. And I had the privilege to go in and speak to Breakaway Wednesday night. And there was just something in my spirit that I wanted to share about what it means to be radical. What it means to see these amazing men and women in Scripture. And to look at them and to know this. This was the big idea. And even today it's the big idea to know this. The women that we talk about today, they're not superheroes. Right? They don't have a cape. They don't have lasers coming out of their eyes. Some women might, but that's a different story. Like, dudes know what I'm talking about. It's that look. And it's that laser look. And you actually, I've had to duck. Never from my wife. It was from my mom. Anyways, but you walk in this place. Sometimes we think that these are just supernatural characters of Scripture, like they're DC comic or Marvel comic, or they all can fly and they all can, you know, Batman's not a superhero. He wears a suit. He's a rich dude with toys. He's not a real superhero, right? You got about, you know, Superman can fly and Wonder Woman can fly, and it's just amazing. And, you know, the reality is this, they're just people, just like us. Moms, these are moms just like you. No superhero power, just truly the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is more than enough for everything that you will ever face. And today is a day that we walk out of this place strengthened. You walk out of this place, I want you to feel like Wonder Woman when you walk out of this place, walking in a strength that truly is not your own. Come on, Father, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for moms in this house and grandmoms in this house. And Father, we remember those who are in this place who want to be moms, and that hasn't happened yet. And God, I pray for them. I pray for those who have lost moms, and I pray for them. And we'll cover this in a minute. But Father, I just ask that you would speak directly into us today in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Amen. Come on. Renee is going to open up. And I didn't even get a chance to talk in the first service. She just rolled with the whole service. It was, honey, we're going to share the time. And she just shredded it. It was unbelievable. I'm just kidding, babe. Come on.
I bet you spoke more minutes than I did.
What's that? I probably did. I probably did.
It's good.
I'm the talker in the family. Here we go.
Yes. Are we going to tell a story?
Tell a story, babe. I mean, love your stories.
I'm trying to, you know.
Let's go. Tell me a story.
Remember a story. How this went.
It's a great story. You just fly fresh, right? Baby. Here we go.
So we did tell a story, I think, to start in the first service.
Amazing.
And it's just kind of funny, a funny story, because this was around the time Olivia, you know, just a mom story. Olivia was on her, you know, pre-K, you know, beginning of the year school. She's in pre-K, and, you know, it's my little girl, and it's picture time. And the night before pictures, which I'm ready for a perfect picture, you know what I mean? Like, I got the dress ready. I mean, I went shopping for this thing, and, you know, we're just all set. And the night before her picture, she decided to cut her bangs off. Off, like way up here. There was no healing, no repairing it. It was just off and gone. And, you know, so it's like I'm trying to make a good impression here. I want to be a good mom, and I want to impress the teacher and all the other moms. I want to be like, you know, got it all together here. And wouldn't you know, my creative little girl cuts off her hair. And that was a defining moment for me, you know, just to realize that, you know, life is not perfect and no one is perfect and there is no perfect mom and no perfect child. And so there you have it. Those bangs took months to grow back. I mean, we were working the headband for a long time, and right. It would fall like right down here a lot. She was walking around with a headband on her forehead. But anyway. Those are fun times, you know? Like,
those
we all have those fun moments where, you know.
I mean, honestly, the things moms go through, right? Because I'm like, hey, she cut her hair. And it's like, whatever. Mom's like, no, this is the worst thing ever. This is awful. I'm like, hair will grow back. I'm dad's heart. It'll grow back. No,
I couldn't wait for retake day.
Oh, it was awful.
I was ready.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Let's get into this. Proverbs. I want to talk about Proverbs 31, verse 25. And we're going to look at this, and Renee's got a couple more stories, and we're excited about moms and their stories. And we know this. We know that moms, you carry so much. And there's the dad's heart, and then there's the mom's heart. Right? There's that which the dad carries, and there's that which the mom carries. And we know that, and even now as parents, you know, moms, you know, as a parent, you know that your children will never, never know the tears. They'll never know the time. They'll never know what you go through on your face as you cry out to God. They'll never know the depth of a mother's heart until they're a mom. I believe that. Because moms, you go, and of course, dads, we pray, and we're the soldiers, and okay, amen. But moms, you go through it. But there is something that Renee was just so excited about sharing to moms, and I want you to hear Renee's heart. So come on, girl, here we go.
Okay, so we're in Proverbs 31, and we know that this is the description of a worthy woman, you know, and this woman does amazing things, you know. I mean, she works long into the night. She wakes up early. She extends her hands to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She has not any fear of the snow for her household. She makes clothing and cushions and tapestries for herself. Her clothing is linen and pure and fine. And so we're going down to verse 25. And it says that strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. And, you know, this is amazing. I do have the Amplified version, too. And it says, strength and dignity are her clothing. And her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. And, you know, it's just amazing because this kind of strength that they're talking about here is not, you know, the kind of strength we get from working out or, you know, lifting weights. And, you know, my man Sean here, I'm not going to be able to do as many push-ups or beat him in an arm wrestling tournament right now or anything like that. So I'm not even going to try.
Right. I break your arm, girl. Let's go.
But
I'm just kidding.
Yes, he would. Okay. We don't want that today. And but it's just so amazing because, you know, and then she smiles. Some versions say that she laughs at the future. And I have to say, I mean, there are times where I'm confident, but there are times that, you know, I can fear the future. You know, I have to say, like, I'm not looking to the future sometimes with laughter exactly, but this is our example, and it's just so amazing that God says that she smiles and she laughs at the future. This kind of strength is just so supernatural. This is the strength that only could come from God alone, and this is the kind of strength that makes you soul strong, you know what I mean, like inside of you. And this is the boldness that you have when you have faith in the Almighty God and what he has done for us. And this is the kind of strength that we need to have. And so when I was studying this through the Strong's Concordance, Psalm 8 is the reference where this kind of strength comes from. Psalm 8 verse 3 says, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries or your enemies. And I just think that's so amazing that this kind of strength that we're talking about here, that this woman has, and she clothes herself with this strength, it's this kind of strength that is found in a mom who's nursing her little children. And we all, some of us know, the joys and the pains of nursing children. You know, it can be a frustrating thing, but a mother knows, you know, there are ups and downs, and God, he's there, and he gives us strength when we need that strength, that we're able to, you know, just lead our family and our children and to help them and guide them and pray for them and just work in faith and believe God that he has given us everything that we need to do that. And it's also interesting because it says in verse 4 there, Psalm 8, verse 4, it says, you are mindful of us and you will visit us. And so God never leaves us and he never forsakes us. He's always there, even when you feel like you're all alone and, you know, you might be a single mom or, you know, you're a young mom and you're alone with your baby and it's just exhausting. And, you know, God is the one who gives us this supernatural strength. And it's just amazing how when we can trust him that it says that in his presence is strength and gladness. And so I guess that's, you know, how we can actually smile at the future. So
tell him the nursing story, because that was funny.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Okay, yeah.
It's one of them stories, gentlemen. that when you hear your wife scream, and like, I'm talking midnight, she's doing the thing that only a woman can do, nursing the child. And what do you do? Dude, you sleep, right? Because we need our beauty sleep. So, you know, man, when you're asleep and your wife, who you truly love and adore, she lets out a screech. I mean, you don't touch the ground. Like, it's unbelievable. This is an amazing true story, and it's crazy.
This is a scary story now. But this was our firstborn, Carter, and, you know, he was not the greatest sleeper, let's just say. It was hard to get him to sleep the whole night. And so I had taken him downstairs to feed him, and it was just, you know, the middle of the night. It was probably 3 a.m. I was exhausted, and I was sitting on the rocking chair, and it had, like, a little Afghan over the side of it. And I felt something on my shoulder, and I was just like, oh, I'm just losing my mind. I'm so tired. Like, I felt something, but then I was like, oh, you're just crazy because it's probably your scrunchy thing that fell out of your hair now, and it's falling, you know, down this blanket here. And not 30 seconds later, there was a mouse that ran right in front of me, and I screamed. I mean, I do not like rodents. Especially in my house, I was like...
Especially on your shoulder.
On my shoulder. It was that's what happened. It was like must have crawled up the little blanket, and then it was like way up here, and I was like, woo, you know? But at 3 a.m., you're just like, okay, calm down. You're crazy. You need sleep.
I mean, I'm upstairs, and when you hear your wife screech, I don't think I hit the stairs. Like, you float. Remember? Like, you're like... I might have hit one stair out of all of them, and you're downstairs like someone's breaking in your house. You're ready to just kill somebody, right? You're ready to go at it. And it's a mouse. I could have died, Renee. Think of someone other than yourself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it just, you know, and I'm like, I'll go to Walmart and get a trap. She's like, you're not leaving the house. There's a mouse in this house. I'm like, I think you scared it. It's probably had a heart attack. It's probably dead over here somewhere with what you're screaming. It was just, again, those moments that you just don't forget. And
that
amazing.
Is the beginning of our parenting journey.
It was incredible.
It started off great, you know? Yeah. And, you know, it's just, and I just pray for moms all the time that are in the middle of, like, trying to get babies to sleep through the night and babies to, you know, get on a schedule. It's so hard. But I do have a great book, and I hand them out front by the desk. If you have a new baby and you're a new mom, you need a book. It's called... Baby Wise. Anyway, mm-hmm. Just a little plug. So then you get this book and you will teach your baby to sleep and get your baby on a schedule. Amen. Okay. So anyway, back to she is filled with strength and dignity are her clothing. Dignity here is honor and splendor. It's beautiful and majestic. Psalm 29:4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful and majestic. It's becoming and it's excellent. And the Bible tells us to worship the Lord in the beauty of splendor, in the beauty of his holiness, to clothe ourselves with holiness and the beauty of Jesus. And so here we just see that this woman is full of this kind of dignity, and it's a beautiful thing. And the next part is, you know, just her laughing and smiling at the future. And she does not fear because she knows that her family is prepared. And this laughing is a laugh that is a friendly laugh, and she smiles, and it's a playful laugh. And it also says, with instrumental music, singing, and dance before the Lord. So she has no fear. And I just want to add that, you know, there is a time to weep. There is a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. So I'm not saying that we're supposed to laugh when, you know, there's no reason to laugh. I'm just saying that, you know, this is the way that she is, you know, consistent with her life. You know, she can laugh at these times in the future, and she knows because she trusts her God, and that's the reason why she's so confident, and she's able to laugh, and she knows that her family will be taken care of. She's serving the Lord, and she's, you know, in the congregation of the upright, like you said last week. You know, she's faithful to bring her family to church and worship the Lord, and she sets that example for her children. And that's just amazing. Let's see.
When you look at this word strength and dignity, and this defines that Proverb 31 woman, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above jewels. right? The heart of her husband trusts in her. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So you find this woman who is this Proverbs 31 woman who is, and I love where her strength is not a push-up strength. It is this internal power. And there is, watch this, because a part of this word strength, it means she is fearless. Ladies, what happens when you buy into the truth that there is something truly supernatural about you in that sense of that you have this fearless quality about you that you understand it's not my push-ups that makes me ferocious, right? It's not my push-ups that allows the enemy to run away from my family. It is that strength. It is that fearlessness that is within me. It is that might that is within me. And when you understand there is a power by the Spirit of God that is in you, that is supernatural, and there is strength, and there is power, and there's might, and there's authority, and that has nothing to do with the size of your biceps as a woman. That has everything to do with you tapping into the power of God's presence within you, where the word says, I love this, that God has not given you a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Watch it. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. And we gotta begin to exchange the idea of how many push-ups I can do compared to the power of God that's in me that has nothing to do with the size of our strength physically, but the strength of who our God is in us. Women, this is defining you. Moms, this is defining you as a woman who walks fearless, a woman who walks courageous, a woman who walks bold and strong, and realize what it means to wait on the Lord. And I will walk in this place to be strong in Him and not worried in this place of what's going to happen in the sense of tomorrow, but I'm going to trust God for it. And I'm going to walk in this place of this strength that the Bible says you can tap into the strength by the Spirit of God within you, for strength and dignity are her clothing. I love that. It covers you. When people see you, they see a woman who is strong. A woman who carries herself with dignity, honorable. And in that, they see a woman who can smile at what's coming. I love that. Listen, God would never put it in here if it wasn't applicable to every woman in this house today. And every woman who's watching online. To understand your value and to understand your worth. Understand as a mom, the idea of what it means to tap in and be fearless. No, 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 no. God has not given me a spirit of fear. No, He's given me power. That's an internal strength from the inside out, that in your heart you would take courage. What does that look like to be brave from the inside out? Come on. Amen.
Amen. God is good. You know, Ephesians 3:20 says, He does far more abundantly more than we can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And as moms, we have the power in us to change even the atmosphere in your home, you know? And it's amazing. A lot of times, Ethan, if he's online with school, you know, I'm like, you know, playing some music and I'm running in his room. I'm like, listen to this song, listen to it again. And he's like, I heard it, Mom, you know? And just how it says that, you know, she's singing and she's listening to music and she's dancing before the Lord, and we're not afraid in our house to, you know, sing and dance and before the Lord and make music. And it's just a beautiful thing for your kids to see you just honoring the Lord, and, you know, while you're emptying the dishwasher, while you're cleaning and vacuuming or whatever it is, even though it seems like sometimes they don't want to see you, you know, do these things. You know, it's just, they know that we love God so much.
Come on, if you would turn with me, please, to Exodus 2. We want to talk about a mom today. And again, we have to get in our mindset of what it means to be that radical mom. Of what it really looks like to say, I don't need to wear a cape. I don't need to have superhero powers. Like, I need to trust in the one true living God. And walk in a way where you see these Old Testament women, these Old Testament moms, that there were moments that they walked in a place to be so fearless that they walked into place to understand God's hand. They walked into place to disregard even evil dictators, and they know that they need to do something for their son that could actually cost them their lives. This is the radical mindset of a mom. Her name is Jochebed, and this is Moses' mom, Jochebed. That's a fun name, right? Moses' dad was Amrad. Like, that's a great dog name. You've got a dog, Amrad. Like, that's a strong dog name. Like, Moses had cool parent names, right? So Jochebed was the mom. And this is just one of those amazing stories that you see where a mother was radical. And a mother did what other moms were not doing. A mother went against an evil dictator. The mother went against a decree that came out that said, we're going to kill every son that is born. We're going to throw him in the Nile and we're going to kill him. And a mom said, not my son. No, my other moms weren't doing this. But Jochebed said, not my son. And in doing that, Moses is one of the greatest leaders in the history of mankind. And you walk into place because it started with one radical mom saying, I will not walk by fear. I will not walk in a place to be filled with fear. My spirit will be different. And I'm gonna read this story because it's an amazing story. You probably know this story, but we pick it up in Exodus 1 and we look at this, and I want you to see this. This is one of those stories where this is post-Joseph. Joseph was the big Israel hero, you know. He saved Israel. He was a bigwig in the kingdom, and he, you know Joseph's story. He went, got sold by his brothers, went into slavery, was raised to stardom, went back down in the dungeon, raised back to stardom. Joseph was a hero, saved his people. This is now Joseph is gone. A new king has shown up, a new pharaoh. Pharaoh's a mindset for a king, right? Doesn't mean there's just one pharaoh. There's other pharaohs. Pharaoh's just king. And this new king said, hey, we got to deal with this issue. There's an issue taking place with the Hebrews that they are starting to multiply rapidly. A matter of fact, they're becoming so many that they're going to outnumber us. Then our slaves, when the slaves outnumber you by so many, they can overpower us. This was the king's mindset. The king said, the thing to do then is to kill every time a boy child of the Hebrews is born, we're going to kill him. And that will ruin the population. Could you imagine that evil? Could you imagine the evil of that? But there's a couple women in this story that I want you to see. There's these two midwives. Amazing women. The Bible says they feared God more than they did Pharaoh. Isn't that amazing? They were slaves. They worked as slaves. And when Pharaoh told these two midwives, listen, every time a son is born, you're the Hebrew midwives, right? Every time a male is born, you're going to kill him. And these midwives said, nah, we're not going to do that. Watch this. I want to pick it up here. Verse 15, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah. That's a fun name, Shiphrah. And the other was named Purah. That's a fun name. Puah. And he came and he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. Could you imagine that scene? Hey, you're the Hebrew midwives, and when your women are giving birth and when you see that it's a son, I need you to kill him. Like, you don't know, obviously, what you're having until it's born at that moment, right? You have no idea. And then all of a sudden, nope, it's a male. We've got to take him and kill him. Watch this. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women give birth to see them upon the birth stool, if it's a son, then you shall put him to death. Verse 17. But the midwives feared God. Here it is, church. Ladies, I want you to get this, because there is something that can be done within a woman that is not an outside physical strength, but it's a strength within, a truly supernatural strength within you that says, I am more fearful of God in a respect and a reverence to God than I am man. And it says this, the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded. You got to get the big picture here, right? When you disobey the king as a slave, your head rolls. It's not complicated. These two midwives were radical women. They put the fear and reverence of God above any decree of an evil king. Even though they knew our heads could roll. Watch this, watch this. So the king called on the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" The midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife can get to them." Like, that's amazing. Listen, the Hebrew women, man, when we're ready to give birth, it's a slippery slope, baby. It's just down the slide and out, right? It's just, and every woman is like, "I want that. Like, let's give birth quickly. Come on." Amen. Because the midwives feared God, God established households for them. And Pharaoh, okay, because that wasn't working, Pharaoh, plan B. Then Pharaoh, verse 22, commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who was born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive." Could you imagine if it's a son, you're supposed to just toss him in the drink? But then you see a mom. Jochebed, who says, "No way." You see a mom who becomes radical. You see a mom who becomes fearless. You see a mom who understands a strength that is not her own. You see a mom that there is something on the inside of Jochebed. That she's like, "I am not concerned about myself. If my head has to roll, then my head has to roll. But I will not throw my son in the drink." It's amazing. "No man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over in tar and pitch." This is, the child's 3 months old. A three-month-old baby. "And then put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile." And it's amazing. Could you imagine? And I love this, that the strength of a woman, the strength of a mom, is to, number one, fear God first over every evil dictator there is, but then have to do which would be almost impossible to do. How do you know that this is my child and I can't hide him anymore? If he is found out, we're both going to die. She has to do the unthinkable as a mom. She has to put her three-month-old son in a basket and put it in the very river that how many sons prior to this have been thrown into the river. And she builds this basket, and I'm sure she prays, and she leaves this amazing gift from God on the side in the reeds, and just hoping that an Egyptian just doesn't come over and flip the basket. But instead, God had a plan that Pharaoh's own daughter would find this child. And God had a plan that even in all of this, Moses' sister would go to Pharaoh's daughter and say, "I know somebody who can nurse. I know a Hebrew woman," speaking of her own mother, Moses' mom, "who can nurse this child." So could you imagine the strength of Jochebed that says, "I'm not throwing my son into the river. Matter of fact, I'm going to hide him for as long as possible. And then I'm going to do which would seem to be impossible, and to just kind of put him in this basket and let him float. And then to be called on to actually come nurse this child who's your very own. And then would have to release him again into the palace. And because of a mother's action, we are given this amazing story that we see in Old Testament so many times. It's referenced time and time and time and time again. So many Psalms are referenced about this man named Moses in the Exodus. The whole book is about it. The Exodus of God's chosen people being released from freedom because of this man named Moses. Well, for 40 years, Moses was a somebody in the palace. He lived in the palace. He ate the palace food. He was a somebody. Until he realized, I'm the wrong somebody. And then he ran away to be a nobody, to be a shepherd for 40 years. And then at 80 years old, he became exactly who God needed him to be, to come back and face Pharaoh face to face, to say, let my people go. Why? All of that, why? Because one mom had faith. Because a mother had faith. To do at times what seems to be impossible. And God blessed that faith. Hebrews 11 speaks to this. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. In Hebrews 11:23, it's amazing. The heading here says, Amram and Jochebed, fearless faith. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Which is amazing right there. We didn't look at that last service, but in verse 27, it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, just as his mother had done. Isn't that amazing? Now, see, your children will do what you do. You know, when you look at that, it's just so cool that, you know, she didn't obey the commandment.
Listen, there's something to that. Like, honestly, because I'm just thinking at the exact same moment that a mother's fearlessness is contagious to her children. You know, it's one thing for a dad to be fearless. But when the children see something in mom, that my mom is fearless. She's a fearless woman. She's not afraid of public opinion. She's not afraid of the evil dictators. It does something to the child. It does something to the child. And you see this in Jochebed and you see this in Moses, where he was not afraid of the king. Why? Because mom was not afraid of the king. God has a plan, moms, for you and for your children. And this is not a push-up strength. You need to know that. There is something inside of you that truly is supernatural in the Holy Spirit, that there is this strength and this power and this effectiveness that is in you. That you walk in this place to be the one who knows the scripture, to be the one who will pray over your children in time of need. Incredible. Mom, there is something in you. When you walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that your sons and your daughters, they desperately need. When it is in their moment, they will need you to show up. When they are going through it, they're going to need you to show up in the powerhouse that you've been called to be. Man, in a minute, we're just going to pray for the moms in this place, but I want you to get this. I want you to understand. Man, sometimes there are big ups and downs. Sometimes there's worst case scenario downs that, mom, you need to be so strong for your kids. Other times it's that just being in the moment. And Renee's going to just kind of talk about her heart, where this was not a major issue. It's an issue that will be fixed, but it was a mom's heart in the moment. And I think a lot of moms go through that in the moment. In that moment, struggle, or in that moment, my son, or in that moment, my daughter. And there was a moment a couple weeks ago. Can you just share about that?
Well, we have another story. This one is a crazy story. A few weeks ago, we were out to breakfast with our friends. I see them right here. We were out to breakfast. We were talking about how excited I am to go watch Ethan play his first home football game. I was so excited. And love to watch that kid play football. And I didn't cry at all when it happened. Just so you know, I'm just crying in front of everybody. Now I was strong. I had strength in that moment. He's quarterback and, you know, he loves to run the ball and he was going around for a touchdown and he got tackled and he was down.
He got crushed.
Quiet.
She said tackled. I said he got crushed.
It was silent.
It was a great tackle.
And it broke my heart, you know. I mean, no mom. I mean, moms have been through a lot worse than this, but you know how it is. When your kid is down, you know, your heart just aches for them, you know. And it's almost like you can feel their pain. And so he was down for like 10 minutes now. And it was amazing because, you know, Lenny and Jenny were there. We had, you know, the Zigglers were there. Lots of believers praying right away and even texting and saying, please stand with us and pray. We don't know what happened. And then Sean went down to the field and he was standing over Ethan and Gina actually said to me, she's like, well, Sean's laughing. It's going to be okay. And so really, like, you know, he was laughing at the future in a way, you know, there we go. But, you know, mom is struggling and mom is just, you know, waiting. And but we just believed. And Sean was just speaking over Ethan in that moment, like, you know, you be strong. And the funny thing is, I was thinking about after the first service, Ethan's name means strong and enduring, which is amazing, you know? I don't want him to go through too much, but it's just crazy. That's what his name means. And he was strong. We went to the emergency room. The ambulance came to get him. And the whole way, I drove in my car, and I just prayed, you know? And in my prayers, you know, I do love God, and I do love his word, and I fill myself up with his word every day, you know? And I just prayed scriptures that I didn't even know I had in me. It was amazing, and I was like, wow, thank you, Lord, you know? I mean, I burst out into tears when Carter called me on the phone, but right after that, I was like, Lord, you are amazing. You see right inside of that boy, and you see what needs to be healed, and I just pray you start right now. You just start healing him, even on the way to the hospital. And, it was amazing, and just to find out, you know, he had a dislocated hip, you know, and really no broken bones, just like a fracture of a chip or something like that, but, and he will heal, and it's amazing how God just surrounded us with so many people praying, and I just thank you all for praying for him, and he is on the road to recovery and healing, and he's going to be on crutches for several more weeks, but he's going to, you know, walk and run again and be on that field again, and we're excited, but, you know, just knowing that our God is with us always, and I just want to read Job 22, it says, that I will have delight in the Almighty. When you lift up your face to God, you will pray to him and he will hear you. You will also decide and decree a thing and it will be established for you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. And this is what we want to encourage every mom in here today, every believer, that you lift up your voice to the Almighty. You believe, you pray. And guess what? God's favor is going to shine on your way. And we can believe and we can hope and trust that God is our healer and he's so faithful. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the future. We can look to the future and we can be glad and know that we have such an almighty God, that he loves us, he's for us, he stands by us, he never leaves us. And it's just amazing when you fill yourself up and you have faith to believe and overcome all these things, even when tragedy comes, that God is there. He's just always there. I just know he's always there with us, and you just know his presence is there. So just put yourself in his presence all week you know, prepare yourself and know that God is with you. He'll never leave you.
Amen. Come on. Hey, if we could have the moms. I want this. I want moms. I want grandmoms. And I want this, man. My heart is to those who want to be moms. You're married and you want to be moms. And for whatever reason, that's not happening. And I want you to stand with us and just walk in a place, because I want to pray for you. And moms, I hope that this was encouraging to you, and I hope that you leave today truly with a strength within your spirit, just to know, listen, there are moments that we laugh with our kids and there's moments that we cry with our kids. But when your kids are going through it, they need to see a strength in their mom. They need to see mom being fearless. And they need to be able to turn to mom and say, mom, you got me through this. And again, moms, you go through things that your kids will never know. They never know how many tears are shed. They have no idea how much time you spend on your face before the Lord just for them. They have no idea truly that you hurt more than they hurt. But strength and dignity are your clothing. And in that, you can smile at your future. So, man, if you're a mom in this place, and you're a grandmom in this place, or you're a mom and you want prayer, you don't have to stand up if you're married and you're struggling. But if you are, man, I just want to pray for you. I believe God can do a work in that. We love you and we pray for you. Come on, would you please just stand to your feet, please? Moms, come on. Amen. I'm going to stand and pray. Come on. Amen. And we truly have a gift for you on the way out. We've got a flower for you just to say we love you. And I just want to pray. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for these women. I thank you for everyone who represents family. God, I pray that they would have just this fearlessness within them today. I hope that today they begin to see their value and their worth. They begin to see their strength is not a push-up strength, but God, their strength is a supernatural Holy Spirit strength that is within their spirit, that they can be fearless and they can be radical and they can be strong and they can be mighty and they can walk with their head up and be strong and dignified with great respect. And Father, I cover these moms today. God, I don't know what each of them are going through, and I don't know what their children are going through, but God, you do and they do, and I just pray as a mom can see their child celebrating that they would celebrate, and a mom can see the brokenness of their own children, and that she would be strong, and that she would just continue to speak life, and she would just continue to pray, and continue to walk by faith as moms do. Father, for every married woman that's in this house today that loves you, wants to be a mom, but there's complications. And on this Mother's Day, Father, we pray for them that they would be able to adjust and they'd be able to trust. They'd be able to adjust to it, God, and walk in a place of faith, and they'd be able to trust you for a seed to be planted. And that their body would do what you have created their body to do. Lord, you are amazing. Lord, we love you. And we thank you in this house that we can honor moms today. And we ask that you bless them as they go and are just truly put in a special place today at home. In Jesus' name, come on. Amen.